Well, good morning, everyone. Can I first of all say a huge thank you to all of you down here, because you've done an absolutely fantastic job, especially on some of those name places, as we just heard in the reading as well. You do a better job than some of the adults here, certainly me. I always struggle and tumble over some of those words. But it's absolutely fantastic to be allowed to listen in on what you guys have been learning. This is my first prize giving. Maybe you've seen more of these, but I certainly would love to just say a word of prayer and thanks. Thanks for all of you guys, because we are very rich to have you here in our church. But also thanks for all your leaders who so faithfully work so hard behind the scenes, because we don't always know just how hard they work. But let's just give thanks, and then we'll look at the little passage that was read. So let's pray together and give thanks to our God and our Father. How great to know you as our Father. On a day like today, when it's Father's Day, you are our perfect Heavenly Father. We thank you for how you've blessed this church with so many young lives. Lord Jesus, thank you for what they've been learning. Thank you that you are at their age already, making them excited and trusting in your word. We thank you that they've been learning about Jesus. Thank you that they've been learning about the work of Jesus in starting and planting the church and making it grow. And we're part of that church, and we thank you. Thank you for all the leaders as well, who throughout this year and years gone past have given of their time and their energy and of their life and their passion in teaching these young people. Thank you so much for all their commitment and all that they do, as we see a little bit of it today. But Lord, we also thank you for any parents who are here who try to continue that work that happens here on a Sunday, and to continue to open up the Bible at home. We thank you for any grandparents who also pray faithfully for their grandchildren, and for anyone else who might have adopted that kind of role of parent or grandparent. We thank you that we as a church can gather around them, whether they are our children or whether they are the children of this church. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for entrusting them to us. And we ask, Lord, that you may continue to help them to grow and help them each to trust in you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, you've shared a little bit about what you've been learning, and Jocelyn is right. We haven't gone as far as you yet. Adults tend to get a little bit slower in what they can contain, so we have only just covered the first six chapters of this book of Acts. But you know something beautiful? At the end of this first section, in chapter 6, it's the exact same theme of what you've already been sharing, because this is what Luke says. And this is, you know, some of the people you've looked at, Paul and Silas, and what a challenge their life leaves us as we try to follow their example. But let's read this together, if you can. Anybody who's able to read, let's read this verse together, because this is what Luke says at the end of our first section. He says, "Now, in these days, the disciples were increasing in number." And you've already shown us that that's exactly what the book of Acts is all about. It's the church growing, it's people giving their lives to Jesus. Isn't that exciting? Well, Luke is excited, because this church was started out of a little group of maybe about 11 apostles or disciples who followed Jesus in the first place. But how did this happen? Can anyone tell me, how did this church come to grow? How come these disciples joined the church? Very good. They spread the good news, and because people heard the good news, they started following. Well, just before the verse we just read, at the end of chapter 5, this is what Luke tells us. He says, day after day, in the temple courts, as well as from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming, which is a big word of telling other people, the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. And what does Messiah mean? Does anyone know? What does the word Messiah mean? He is our
Savior.
Thank you. He is our rescuer. Well, there's three things I want you to remember as I'm trying to, everything you've told us and everything we have learned as adults, try to just combine them in three things. First of all is this. You've told us about all these journeys to all these places in modern-day Turkey. Some of the place names are hard to pronounce. But where did it all start? Does anybody know where it all started? Where did the church first got started? Any guesses? Was it in Edinburgh?
Yes,
where was it? There's a little clue in this Bible verse. Where is the temple? Where was the temple in the day of the Bible? Does anybody know what town or city? Any adults? Do you know? Tell me. Jerusalem. Very good, very impressive. It's the city of Jerusalem. So before Paul and Silas and Barnabas started to travel, it all started in this little spot, in this big globe, in the city of Jerusalem. Why I'm telling you is this. I know of an organization in Ireland called Exodus. And Exodus is an organization that organizes small groups of people to go abroad to other countries to tell people about Jesus. But you know what their slogan has been for a long time? Their slogan has been, start local, go global. And sometimes they've thrown it around. They say, go global, start local. What do you think that means? Well, what they're about is that they long to help people to go far and wide, but maybe even just go across to the Netherlands or to Russia and other countries and help them to tell other people about Jesus. But they also equip all the people not to be able just to tell the good news about Jesus far and wide, but also at home. And that's sometimes the most difficult place to share about Jesus. But that is exactly how the church got started. This city, Jerusalem, is in the same country that the disciples were from. This is their city. This is their people. This is their culture. This is their language. And God said, go and tell the people in your country, in your city, about Jesus. Now, if you would translate that to your own world, what would be your local? What would be your local? And I'm not talking about your local Sainsbury's. What would be your local? Anyone? Queen's Ferry, exactly. And that should be everybody's local, isn't that right? Because that is the place to live. Well, they're from South Queen's Ferry. Where are you guys from? Anybody? I've brought a map. Let me see. So, love the local. What's this? Apologies for anyone who seems to be slightly out of the boundaries of the city. You are included in this. But can anyone tell me, you don't have to tell me your street, but what area of Edinburgh are you from? Okay, do you know? Do you know? What, Brunston? Is that right? Now, I'm new to Edinburgh, so I'm hoping Ken is going to point out to us. Brunston, is that right? It's not on there. Now, it's not too far from Portobello, isn't that right? Just a little bit in. Oh, Ken, that's the last time I'm asking you anything. What? Where are you from? Yes, and do you know the area? Not really. And what's the street again? I'll ask Ken if he can find that one. It's something drive? Inakil Drive? Liberton. Oh, let's see. There you go. There's Liberton. Right? And one more. Who would like to tell us where you're from in Edinburgh? Anybody know? Yes, where are you from? You are from very far. Cannon Mills? Cannon Mills, Ken. Excellent. So your local is your street, is your school, is your sports group, wherever you spend time, and to tell the people there about Jesus. But that's sometimes the hardest place to do that. And for the adults, that means our workplaces. And sometimes that takes a long time. Sometimes we start with simple friendship or just inviting people to come to our home and share a meal, and then hopefully it may lead to us inviting them to come sometime to church. But one thing we would love to see happen is for you all to have the courage to try to at least invite one more person to come next year to the Bible Adventure Club. Wouldn't that be a challenge? Someone from school, a friend that you know, that you can say, why didn't you come to church sometime? Or even better, if you're around in the summer and you're coming to the Holiday Bible Club, I'm going to challenge you all. Bring one of your friends. If we all do that, we're going to run out of space very quickly. But that is exactly what the disciples did. They went to their local area and told everyone about Jesus. But that wasn't the only thing. There's something else that Luke tells us. What does it say there? It says they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news. Do you know what I'm calling these disciples? I'm calling them gospel chatterboxes. Have you ever been called a chatterbox? Have you ever been told to maybe zip it, to be quiet in class? Oh, there's quite a few of you. Well, sometimes at home. Well, these disciples were so full of this good news that they couldn't stop talking about it. Even better, it says that they were even told to stop talking about it. And the leaders, the religious leaders, had said, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name." He said, "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." So if we wanted to follow the example of Paul and Silas and Barnabas, we first of all learn to start locally. Start right where we live, where God has placed us to tell people about Jesus. But secondly, we are meant to speak up. We're meant to say something. Well, that's not a very clear picture, but we're meant to talk about it. And you know why this is important? Sometimes I wonder if we're making the world guess a little bit too much. We're living very good lives, you know, we try not to do anything bad. And then we're hoping that people are going to think, oh, they must go to church. Oh, they must be a Christian. But actually, throughout the Bible, it teaches us that we also ought to be able to courageously tell people about Jesus. Here's a great picture. Do you know what movie this is from? What movie? Tell me. Rapunzel or Tangled. And what does this person do with that kind of face? Do you know? He's not talking and he's doing that kind of thing, yeah, or cleaning a window. Yeah. Exactly. He pretends there's a window and we're supposed to guess what he's doing. Well, sometimes, and I'm not getting anyone because it's hard to tell people about Jesus, but sometimes Christians forget to talk about it and we're a little bit more like a mime player and we're having the world guess what we're trying to picture. But actually, we should all be courageous and bold in telling the world around us about this Jesus. Paul himself says in the letter to Colossians, he says, "Be wise in the way you act, so the way you live, but also let your conversation be always full of grace." And actually, if you go back to the passage that was read, verse 1 through 6, you'll find that there was great distraction. There was distraction from people being able to talk about this great news. And so they had to sort that out. But once they got that sorted out, we read one third and last thing. It says that when they weren't distracted and were able to speak again about Jesus, it says that the word of God continued to increase. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. That's the exciting thing. When we go to our streets and we go to our friends and tell them about Jesus, when we're bold and courageous, which isn't always easy, but follow the example of Paul and Silas, what should we expect? What's the result? What will happen? Anyone? What happens when we talk about Jesus with the people around us? Tell me. If they threw them in the water and in prison, that's right. That sometimes happens. But God uses those things. And what happens? Despite the hard things, more people come to faith. That is why we should speak. That is why we should be ready to go, just like we've been singing. Because do you know what? God longs to continue to grow the church, even today. Grow in such a way that this church is not going to have any more room for any more people, and that we'll have to start another church, and another church, and another church, because we have the best news to share with the people around us. We should expect change if we obey and follow the example of these great first disciples. But I sometimes wonder, do we still believe that God's word can actually change lives? I've seen it happen, and Luke has seen it happen. But I think sometimes we forget that God's word can change lives, even the lives of these priests who weren't maybe as ready to hear about this Jesus.
But we know that when God speaks, things happen. When Jesus speaks, the storm is calmed. When God speaks, lights and creation is made. Well, still today, God's word changes lives. So I hope that what you've shared with us today, you're not just going to forget. You're also not just going to keep up here in your head. And you're certainly not going to keep it to yourself. But that all of you, and I hope you're going to lead us in your inspirational example, but that you'll all go from here courageously and bold, ready to go, ready to speak, even if speaking is difficult, so that more people will give their lives to this Jesus. And as I said, the church will continue to grow, just as we've been reading in this book of Acts. So thank you, and I'll just pray, and I'll ask Jocelyn then to come up. Will we pray together? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your powerful word. And we thank you for these great disciples who, even though it was scary, they courageously went into the world, even their own world, their own people, their own language, to tell people the good news of Jesus. I pray that you will help everyone who's sitting right here at the front, but also everyone else who's here in this building. Help us to go. Help us to speak. And help us to expect change where we maybe have given up that change could ever happen. And Lord Jesus, may you use this church and may you use all the churches in this city to see more people again, not trust in themselves, but trust in you. Lord, thank you again for all that you do in our lives and all that you're teaching us. But help us not just to hear it, but to also put it into practice. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.